Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dave Mann, who is the executive editor of the nonprofit progressive news organization, The Texas Observer, where he writes the Contrarian column. He has been following Governor Rick Perry for years. Dave Mann currently has an article in the New Republic titled, Whatever Rick Perry's Record Is, It's Not Conservative. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dave Mann.
Thank you.
And when you say his record is not conservative, what do you mean by that?
Well, I'd say that his record, while kind of generally conservative, if you look at the overall frame, I mean, he talks a lot about low taxes and low regulation and things that you would generally think of as conservative. When you begin to look at the details of his major policy proposals in his decade as governor of Texas, you see some proposals that aren't what most people would consider quote-unquote conservative. And the main examples of that being a major toll road project that Perry proposed, in which we were going to sign a contract with a foreign company to build toll roads all over the state and use the government's eminent domain power to condemn farmland for that toll road. That project eventually failed, basically because of resistance from rural Republicans. There's a famous incident in 2007 when Perry tried to require that all young girls in Texas receive a vaccine for HPV. That also was shot down because of resistance from conservative Republicans. He also passed a business tax in this state back in 2006, which basically increased taxes on business. And I think from most perspectives, you'd say that hasn't been a successful policy because it hasn't brought in very much money for the state and has resulted in some budget deficits, basically, in Texas. So you look at those major proposals, and I think a lot of people wouldn't consider those to be very conservative. And, in fact, a lot of Republicans and libertarians in Texas don't like Perry for those very reasons because of those proposals.
But it looks like the broad American public, at least the Republican primary voter, is starting to like him because the race, as you know, has always been crowded and more enter it because nobody's making any headway and breaking out of the pack. And then suddenly he shows up and he's got a double-digit lead over most of them in the recent polls.
Yeah, I think Perry is very good not only on the campaign trail and very good at the so-called retail politics and very good in front of small crowds. He's incredibly charismatic. He's very good on that level, but he's also very good at appealing to different audiences within the Republican Party. He certainly is a religious guy. He has painted himself as a religious candidate. He knows how to appeal to Christian evangelicals and to the religious right of the Republican Party. But he also has been very close to big business, especially in Texas. He certainly knows how to to get along with the business wing of the party. So, I think a lot of people see Perry as kind of this hybrid candidate. You can kind of bring together different wings of the party, both the business end, the kind of big business guys, the country club Republicans, and also appeal to the more grassroots Tea Party activists and Christian evangelicals. A coalition that worked wonders for Bush in his runs for office. So, in terms of him being a front runner, I think Perry has achieved that because he appeals so well to the different wings of the Republican Party.
Again, I'm speaking with Dave Mann, executive editor of the Texas Observer. He's been observing, if you will, Governor Rick Perry for years. But my understanding, I've spoken to Wayne Slater and Jim Moore and some other reporters down in Texas who've also covered him, and I get the impression he's somewhat a cynical opportunist, that he never met a wealthy donor that he didn't he didn't want to carry his water for, and is this guy just out for himself and will take care of his cronies? That's the impression that I'm beginning to get.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe that as inaccurate. I mean, he's built a record in Texas that quite a few people have described as crony capitalism, and I would argue with that. I'd say it's a pretty accurate description. In fact, you could say that his biggest accomplishment in Texas has been building a very impressive network of political patronage and cronyism all across state government. He's appointed everyone, you know, everyone who can be appointed in Texas state government, he's appointed them. And the word in this state is that if you want a government appointment from Rick Perry, you have to give a campaign contribution. In fact, of the hundreds of people he's appointed, when a public interest group here in Austin ran the numbers, the total came out to $17 million in campaign contributions to Perry's campaign from people he's appointed. So, you know, I think a lot of politicians get contributions from their appointees, but $17 million is a lot. And, you know, I think we've seen Perry taking that to a new level. He's has an economic development fund that consists of taxpayer money that he doles out to companies for job creation grants. And he's bragged about that quite a bit and said, well, these grants that he's giving are partly responsible for Texas's job growth, the so-called Texas miracle. And these grants have created jobs, but as we've reported and other people have pointed out, these job grants are going to very politically connected companies and companies and CEOs who are also contributing to the governor's campaign. In 2003, he created a housing regulatory agency that can only be described as incredibly friendly to home builders. And home builders in this state have been some of Perry's most generous contributors, the most notable one being Bob Perry, Houston home builder and one of the biggest Republican donors in the country. He's not related to Perry. They share a last name, but they certainly share a lot of business and political connections. And, you know, the list goes on and on. I mean, I think what we've seen here is Perry has shifted his ideology quite a bit. He'll kind of say what he thinks he needs to say to win an election, but when you look at his record, what he consistently does over and over is pass policies that are very friendly to big business and very friendly to people who have contributed to his campaign.
So, Dave Mann, given that it wasn't so long ago that Rick Perry supported Al Gore, and now he's running on the Republican ticket to become President of the United States, and he's obviously got a lot of support from Texas because they were running ads in Iowa before he even entered the race, a group of supporters. Is this to say, though, that he doesn't have any ideology, that he's quite simply a cynical opportunist? I mean, how do you, you know, what indications do you have that he actually has a belief system?
Well, if his belief system is often very hard to discern. I mean, I would characterize him as very generally conservative. I mean, you point out he was a Democrat, and he helped chair Al Gore's presidential campaign in Texas in 1988. But even when he was a Democrat, he was a conservative Democrat, which wasn't unusual in Texas in those days. A lot of those conservative Democrats later switched to become Republicans, as Perry did. But so I would say his overall ideology is generally conservative. You know, he's always kind of supported limits on lawsuit abuse and tax cuts and light regulation, things that were generally good for business. You know, if he has an ideology, I would say that's it. But again, within that framework, the details have shifted quite a bit. You know, he once raised taxes on business in this state back in 2006. You know, he proposed this toll road project, which used eminent domain authority, you know, only a few years later to propose an emergency bill limiting domain authority, government's eminent domain authority. You know, he's shifted positions on immigration, I was quite a moderate on immigration for years until just this past legislative session, when it looked like he was going to run for president, all of a sudden he became much more of a kind of hardcore anti-immigration guy. So I think with Rick Perry, I wouldn't say he has no ideology, but, you know, he's one of these politicians who whose ideology changes to match what is politically expedient at the moment. And he, for my money, he's one of the worst at that I've ever seen. I mean, you know, George Bush wasn't exactly a policy guy either, but I do think that Bush cared pretty deeply about education policy. I mean, I think that was one area that Bush was willing to work with Democrats on. He wanted to make a difference. You know, we don't even see that from Rick Perry. I mean, his education policy is kind of shifting continuously. One year he's promoting pay increases for teachers and kindergarten and pre-kindergarten, and 2 years later he's cutting funding for education and laying off teachers and cutting pre-K. So it's, you know, I think Perry is in terms of his shifting policy details, unlike any politician I've seen in Texas. So while generally conservative, when you get down to the details, this is a guy who will say what he needs to say to win elections.
Again, I'm speaking with Dave Mann, executive editor of the Texas Observer, where he writes the contrarian column. He's also been following Governor Rick Perry for years. Now, I understand, you, just apropos what you just said, Dave, that he is very clever in the sense that he one of the ways he beat Kay Bailey Hutchison, who was very popular in the state, was embracing the Tea Party. He saw the potential of the Tea Party being a force in the Republican Party. And you recall at one of the rallies, he sort of mentioned the notion of seceding. He's been saying some inflammatory stuff since he entered the race. You know, a lot, it's upset a lot of people. But his poll numbers are going up. So he seems to know how to send the right signals to the people that are, I guess in this case, to the people that matter in the Republican primary voter.
Yeah, Rick Perry is very astute politically. That may be his greatest advantage, his greatest skill. He's got terrific political instincts. He's a very good campaigner. He's very charismatic. But more than that, he's attuned to what the next big thing is going to be. And you mentioned the rally here in Austin in 2009, where Perry made the now infamous secession remark. And at the time, everybody here in Texas, and I think people across the country, kind of thought he was crazy. I mean, that just sounded like a huge mistake and just the kind of thing you don't say. And in fact, when you look back on it, it was turned out to be to Perry's political advantage, because he was getting out front of that Tea Party movement and kind of establishing his Tea Party bona fides, where, you know, if you look at his record, there are plenty of things that Tea Party activists would be quite unhappy about, and some of them are. But because of that remark and because of his realizing how powerful the Tea Party would be, he got out in front of that. He structured a campaign for reelection against Kay Bailey Hutchison that was basically based on anti-Washington rhetoric. You know, when in the years before that, when Bush was president, I never really heard Perry rail against Washington. You know, this was a phenomenon of the last 2 years, and it was very potent against Kay Bailey Hutchison. I mean, you have to remember, Kay Bailey was the most popular politician in Texas when she got in the race against Perry in 2010, and she had a huge money advantage. She was 20 points ahead in the polls. And, you know, within 6 months, Perry had completely turned that around, and he ended up blowing her out in the 2010 Republican primary for governor. And that was basically because he ran such a good campaign and found a winning message, found this anti-Washington message that was very successful against Kay Bailey Hutchison as a politician, and also was successful because it tapped into people's frustrations at the time, you know, particularly Republican primary voters. So, yeah, I mean, this is a theme with Perry. He's kind of out there saying things that are controversial, that seem like gaffes, seem like mistakes, but he's not going to back down. He's not going to apologize for these remarks, and in fact, he's probably going to double down on them. You know, we're going to see more of these kinds of things, and you know, I think his campaign and the candidate himself, Perry, believes that these are the kinds of things that Republican primary voters want to hear, and you know, he's saying them because I think he believes they're to his political benefit, and I wouldn't bet against him.
Well, so Dave Mann, are you suggesting that that remarks that he made about Ben Bernanke, saying it would be treasonous for him to print more money, and if he came down to Texas, things could get pretty ugly for him? That wasn't off the cuff. That was a planned remark. It certainly got a lot of attention.
I don't know for certain that was a planned remark. It might have been an off the cuff remark, but. It wouldn't surprise me if that was part of their strategy. That, you know, you're gonna get out there and criticize printing more money. You're gonna criticize the Federal Reserve. You know, I think they feel like that could be a winning message with some Republican primary voters, with some Tea Party folks, and they're gonna hit on that. And maybe the campaign feels like Perry might have gone a little bit too far with the treasonous remark. I don't personally know, but. Like I said, they're not going to back down. They're going to keep arguing their point. So was it a gaffe, or was it off the cuff, or was it planned? I don't know for certain, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if they had intentionally said, we're going to intentionally planned to go after the Fed pretty hard at some point and make some pretty out there comments. Like I said, I feel like they've got a plan, and they're going to come out with comments they feel like are going to benefit them politically, and they're not going to back down, and they're not going to apologize. They're going to – Rick Perry's nothing if not an aggressive politician. And so even if it was a bit of a gaffe, it's within the framework of what he wants to do. It's within the – if he wants to criticize the Fed, he's going to go all the way. And if he maybe – stepped an inch over the line, he's not going to apologize for it.
Sure. Well, but he's also stealing the thunder from the two that that won the Iowa straw poll. They both came in almost in first place, and that's Michelle Bachmann and Ron Paul. That's literally Ron Paul rhetoric. So I can see how it's benefited him and maybe explain his bump in the polls, where he's way ahead of the whole pack now. Just then, in closing, Dave Mann, what about his relationship with George W. Bush, in particular Karl Rove? Karl Rove ran the campaign, the K. Bailey Hutchinson campaign. So Karl Rove doesn't like losing. I take it there's no love lost there between Perry and the Bushes and Karl Rove.
No, the Bush camp and the Perry camp have disliked each other for a very long time. People kind of trace it back to the early 90s. There was a major split in 1998 when Perry, who was running for lieutenant governor at the time, wanted to run a very negative campaign, and Karl Rove and the Bush people didn't want that because George W. Bush was running for re-election as Texas governor at the top of the ticket, and he wanted a very positive message. He wanted a big turnout to show that Bush could attract all kinds of voters and help his presidential ambitions. That was kind of the political split, but I think the split between the Bush and Perry people is very much about cultural identities. I mean, Bush, you know, is very much this kind of blue blood Republican, country club Republican, you know, Andover, Yale. You know, we know where the Bushies are coming from, and Perry is not that at all. I mean, Perry is a West Texas guy. He grew up on a ranch. They did not have money growing up. He went to Texas A&M, you know, flew planes in the Air Force, has always been much more kind of ground up, much more in tune with the grassroots of the Republican Party, and has always kind of viewed himself as a bit of a political outsider, which is odd given how long he's been governor here. But, you know, compared to Bush and the kind of powers that be in the National Party and Washington, D.C., I think Perry thinks of himself as an outsider, and that's why some of his anti-Washington rhetoric is so effective, because that's what he's tapping into. not necessarily anger at the federal government, I would say, but more kind of his own outsider feelings.
Well, Dave, I thank you for joining us and filling us in on the new Republican frontrunner, who may go all the way. I would not discount that possibility.
No, I wouldn't either. He's a terrific politician, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see him get the nomination.
Again, I've been speaking with Dave Mann, who's executive editor of the nonprofit progressive news organization, the Texas Observer, where he writes the Contrarian column. He has been following Governor Rick Perry for years. Dave Mann currently has an article in the New Republic titled, "Whatever Rick Perry's Record Is, It's Not Conservative." We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking with the filmmakers of a new film called Freedom.